Hello there, and welcome to the Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today, we're going to be talking a lot about the Tar Heels as we went to a game and got to watch one of the greatest shots in Carolina Duke basketball history. We're going to talk injury reports. We're going to talk Super Bowl. We're going to talk other college basketball headlines, some NBA, and then some Wildcat sports as Wildcats hire a new football coach. Baseball, soccer, and track are beginning to start up as basketball and wrestling are coming to an end. So that'll be fun. And we'll end it off with some Tar Heels and the pros, as well as a little bit of Carolina baseball action. What are you most excited about this episode?
I want to talk about the Duke game.
Just that's it?
That's it.
Just the Duke game?
I just want to talk about 15-minute
episode, Seth Trimble episode.
No, it'll still be a two-hour episode.
I ain't planning on sitting here for 2 hours, man. All right, so yeah, we'll go ahead and jump right into it. But first, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Patriots just kind of got dominated offensively. They could not score anything offensively. And then defensively, the Seahawks just showed up and... Yeah, I think Kenneth Walker had more. At one point in the third quarter, I saw that where it was like Kenneth Walker had more yards than both the Seahawks outside of him and the Patriots combined.
Wow.
Which is absurd. So he won the MVP without even scoring a touchdown, I think. He may have scored one. I don't think. But either way, very impressive day for him. And then the Hall of Fame, Bill Belichick getting snubbed. We talked about this off air. You kind of are iffy about it because you.
Yeah, I mean, I would not call myself an expert in criteria for Hall of Fame nomination. However, I just know enough about basketball. I just know enough about football to know that Bill Belichick's pretty much, if he's not qualified, I don't know who is qualified.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't really care. And so that is clouding my view for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just think that there's clearly some bias between some former opponents of his being in the committee, not wanting him to be in, which I think is ridiculous in Bush League. But nonetheless, that Hall of Fame class is still good. Drew Brees, being kind of the headline of it. You've got Luke Kuechly, an elite linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Adam Vinatieri is there. There's one other guy, Larry Fitzgerald, who just some extremely elite guys who I'm very excited to see them get their flowers, even though it is almost certainly being outshined by this whole Belichick news. So we'll go ahead and jump into college basketball. Before we get to the Duke game, we will talk a little bit about the freshmen this season. Have all season have been elite, but a couple weeks ago they went nuts with Keaton Wagner scoring 46 points in a win over Purdue. A.J. DeBonsa had a 43-point game in a blowout win over Utah. Kingston Fleming had 42 in a 4-point loss to Texas Tech. Could you imagine scoring 42 points and still losing? Boozer and Wilson each having 20 in their wins, as well as Darren Peterson having 26 in a win against Baylor. Darren Peterson has continued to make headlines over his lack of availability during injuries. What has been your reaction to hearing those headlines, or have you heard those headlines?
Yeah, I've heard them. I mean... Basketball is a team sport, and so it really bugs me that so much of the coverage is about individual performance. And you just said it right there. Somebody scored 43 points, but their team lost.
Yeah.
Because basketball is a team sport.
Absolutely.
So I, without context on a lot of these things, yeah, sure, it's impressive. But all it tells me is that the other team's defense was just that bad that they couldn't stop that one guy. Like, somebody else do it. It's a team sport. But as far as the injury stuff for what's his name, Peterson? Yeah. Like it is what it is. People are going to talk trash no matter what happens. A lot of people confirming their prior biases by saying, well, such and such isn't doing what he's doing, or he's doing what such and such isn't doing. It is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and try to decide whether or not, an injury is valid. I'm not going to sit here and try to pass judgment on somebody for any of that. But, as a North Carolina fan, I've really just been focused on Carolina and seeing Caleb Wilson and those guys that are going as hard as they can night in and night out. And then,
I think the the main thing, I think this is hilarious. Darren Peterson did not play in the win over Arizona. Notice what I said. Win. They won that game against the best team in the country. Hadn't lost a game all season. They blew out. They blew the doors off of OSU the Saturday prior. It was a Saturday-Monday turnaround. They beat the, and they blew the doors off of OSU because they were looking ahead to Kansas, and they, because they didn't look ahead to Kansas. Then Kansas comes in and says, all right, cool. Y'all are going to come to our house and think you can beat us? No, sir. Bill Self coaches the team up phenomenally, even with one of the best freshmen in the country and on the bench. And they win. And then he plays for probably only the first half, because he only plays a half, usually due to injuries, against, who was it that they just lost to? Iowa State. They got the doors blown off of them. And Peterson had 20 points in one half. So, yeah, he's elite, but he's also load managing in college basketball.
Right.
Nickell Brown, I don't know if we said this already, he had 45 points in a blowout win over NC State. What were your reactions to that game? We kind of saw that.
Yeah, we saw late. A little piece of that toward the end of the game, and it was like, oh my gosh. Like, NC State, I don't know what to make of it because I didn't see the whole game, but
yeah,
seeing one guy, or I guess it was two guys, there had two 70 guys had, something.
Two guys combined had 70 or 80 points.
Yeah,
it was
like just, yeah. You can't do that.
Reminds
basketball
me a lot
is
of the
team
Stanford,
game.
Reminds me a lot of the Stanford game for us, kind of.
Yeah, you just can't let two people beat you like that.
I think it was like 75 points. Like, those two guys had 75 points, and then NC State had 77 points combined. Yeah. It was like, oh my Lord, what is happening?
It just ugly. Ugly basketball. And, of course, by the time we were watching it, it was already a 30-point game or a 25-point game.
50.
And so we weren't seeing their best effort, that we were seeing their I've given up and I'm already ready for this game to be over effort.
Yeah.
But there was certainly no attention to detail on the defensive end. I mean, clearly, if one guy is scoring 40-plus points and you're not doubling him or helping off when he drives the lane, like, come on,
that's terrible.
You got it. That's like day one basketball stuff. And so I don't know if it's coaching, don't know if it's personnel. I thought NC State was better than that. And I think they thought NC State was better than that. NC State thought that they were better than that. But that one does not look good on the old resume.
And I remember you telling me, I think the next day or later that week, you're like, I really want to hear Will Wade's interview after this game.
Yeah.
And I thought it out loud. And then I actually went and watched. I've seen a few clips of it online. He handled it very well.
Nice.
Which is great to see. We've already had our conversations about Will Wade on this podcast and how we're not huge fans of him. Before we get to the illustrious net update, we are going to talk some Tar Heels, as they had an open week after the comeback against UVA. Then they went on the road to Georgia Tech. We also went on the road to Georgia Tech for the first of two Saturday Monday turnarounds this season. What were your reactions to getting to go watch Georgia Tech, and how do you feel now that it's over and how the game went, and watching one of the greatest highlights that we will probably ever see live?
Yeah, that was great. I mean, fun game. Really enjoyed the facilities. We went down the night before to avoid the weather, stayed in a hotel that was walking distance from McCamish Pavilion, walked across the bridge to the game. It was a very short walk, but one of the coldest experiences of my life. It was extremely cold. The snow was blowing sideways.
Yeah, I was wearing his hat because he had a beanie on, and the hat I was wearing was going to blow off my head.
Yeah, it was
absurd.
It was very, very cold.
I had forgotten about how cold it was.
Snow in Atlanta does not mess around, especially when the cars below you are making that wind speed go up. And so, yeah, we got there early. I got to take pictures with the Carolina Insider podcast guys. Got to take some pictures with some players. That was super fun. Really great facility.
Shout out Elijah Davis, James Brown, and
Luca
Bogovats for getting pictures with me. That was awesome.
Yep.
And really appreciate it. And Jones and Adam, of course, but they kind of are used to doing that.
Yeah, we had a blast at the game. Our seats were second to top row, which sounds like they weren't great seats. They were really fine.
They were perfect.
It's a pretty small arena. We were basically even with the backboard
pretty much
on one end of the court. And so didn't miss any game action. You could see absolutely everything from where we were, and it was great. If you don't count the students, it was 85% Carolina fans in the room.
And if you count the students, it was still about 80%.
Yeah, no, Carolina. Probably 60. I mean, there was that whole sideline was filled with white jerseys. They tried to do a whiteout, and there was too many Carolina fans there for it to be a whiteout.
Even though our secondary color is white.
Right. We all wore blue.
We all wore blue.
I had a blue and a black with a Carolina logo on it, as well as a dark hat. I was making sure that I was not participating.
I was fairly bummed that my Caleb Wilson jersey is a white jersey. So I had to go with the Hubert Davis jersey during his playing days.
But it was a great game. The Caleb Wilson highlight was amazing. The dunk that he made, I wrote a blog post on it. You should go check that out.
I will probably link that in the description if
link
I don't.
Link that in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, great, great game, great time. And then we came home and there was snow on the ground.
It was pretty awesome to have snow here in South Carolina. You probably heard me talking about the snow on the Patriots broadcast that I did a while back of the AFC Championship game, I think that was. That was so long ago. Really enjoyed that game, and then we came home Monday, played Syracuse, won that one, almost collapsed, but we were able to pull that one off. And then the greatest of all days, a Duke loss in the Dean Smith Center. What were your thoughts, Dad?
Biggest game of the weekend, and the Super Bowl was on the same weekend.
Correct.
It was incredible. I likened it. I told Benjamin as well as others that I've talked to about it. I was like, it felt like the exact opposite of the Austin Rivers game for me, where the Austin Rivers game, I was the whole game, we were up comfortably up and at times in the second half. And I was just like, yeah, we're going to win it. It was great. We're having so much fun. And then with 0 seconds left on the clock, the game ends. And so that was, this was that, but in reverse. I was frustrated the whole game. I was yelling at my TV. I was angry about much of how we were playing, and then we just started chipping away at it. And then, that shot. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was probably I was definitely as angry as you, but my outward emotion was less.
Right.
Because I was at a BCM Christian retreat, and it was a lot of fun. Had a blast.
You weren't allowed to yell cuss words at your phone.
Wasn't allowed to yell cuss words at the TV, even though there was another North Carolina fan there. Shout out Stacy Sargent, for being there, Miss Stacy. Had an absolute blast watching part of that game, and then had plans to watch it DVR'd because we had to leave at around 7:15 to go to the thing. So I'm watching it on my phone until the first worship song started.
Nice.
So it was about 7:45. Well, I turned off my phone and was like, all right, cool. This is awesome. We'll be fine. About 8:35, I get a text from my old basketball coach, Charlie Floyd. I get a text, Coach Floyd, love you, man. But he texts me, said, Heels, what a game. And I was like, dang it, Floyd.
You've ruined it.
But I was overwhelmed with emotion. I went to the bathroom and it was at that point in the service they were setting up for the point in the service where it was like, if you would like to be saved, please come forward or go to the back to talk to a leader. And one of the leaders I had already talked to that day was a Duke fan. He comes up to me, shakes my hand, says, good game. And I'm beaming from ear to ear, of course. And I told him that my basketball coach had ruined it for me. And he just laughed at me. And then I went and found Miss Stacy and I hugged her and I said, go Tar Heels.
Nice.
But yeah, it was pretty awesome to see that live. And then I went and watched it live and then called everyone that I knew who cared about the game. Called his mom, my grandma, and then called you the next morning and then called other family members the next morning as well, because it was like 2 a.m. by the time I finally got to go to sleep. Had an absolute blast watching that game. Again, very frustrating. I thought that maybe having Boozer foul out would be an amazing thing, but him only picking up 2 fouls, which they mentioned on the podcast, he was like the least fouling player in the ACC or something crazy like that. Because have him pick up those 2 quick ones. I think both of them were against Caleb Wilson too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then that Caleb Wilson block being probably the second biggest highlight of the season.
Yeah.
What a What a block. Anything else you'd like to say about that game before we move on to the Miami game?
No, I just love that forever it's going to be called the Seth Trimble shot game. Mm-hmm. Like that, so fitting that Seth Trimble, one of the last people to ever in the NIL era and the transfer portal era to stick around somewhere for 4 years when he could have very easily gone elsewhere. He probably could have made more money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And to stick around at Carolina and then get the chance to hit that shot. The Carolina Insider guys were funny talking about it. Like, he doesn't realize it yet, but for the rest of his life, he will have to talk to people about that shot. Like,
for sure.
For the rest of his life, people will stop him on the street and they'll say something dumb like, "Do you remember that shot you took against Duke?" And he'll have to say, "Yeah, I remember.
I remember the shot.
I was there. Yes, I do remember it." Just amazing to know that you're watching history happen. You know, like the Bloody Montrose game and the like all of these moments in the Duke Carolina rivalry. And now Seth's there forever.
And you compared the two when we had a conversation. You were like, you mentioned how Jones and Adam were talking about it, and you were like, because they were around Montrose when he was still alive. Rest in peace. And it was every time.
Yeah.
Every game.
I mean, you're talking once a week minimum. People would ask him if he remembered that bloody game. And he's like, I remember.
I played in it.
But... And of course, Eric was the nicest human alive. And Seth is pretty similarly nice.
Yeah.
They're not going to dog on people, but they are going to have to put up with asinine questions.
I think Seth will get sick of it at some point. But,
Yeah. Phenomenal to watch. Really enjoyed. I wish somebody had videotaped me because I kind of blacked out and jumped up and down and screaming when he hit the shot. But it was good times.
I was on a bus and I was too scared to yell because I didn't want to cause an accident. But I also knew the outcome, so it didn't really shock me as much. But phenomenal shot. And I loved Wes Durham. I think it was Wes Durham on the Tuesday night call when he was like, "What? It wasn't Wes?"
No, that was Billis and the other guy.
On Tuesday, the game after.
Oh, Tuesday. Sorry.
Wes Durham going, "And now after that shot, he'll probably never have to buy a campus lunch ever again. Buy a drink on campus ever again." It's like, yeah. Or ever, honestly. Yeah. He might not ever have to buy food for himself ever again in the state of North Carolina after that shot. Even Durham might still, Durham might hate him, but I don't care. Unfortunately, Tuesday's game was not the result that we wanted. Falling in that one, Caleb Wilson leaving that one with a hand injury. We were told it was a sprain at first, but comes back on Friday afternoon as a broken hand. What were your reactions to, one, the game, and then one, his injury?
Yeah, I mean, it was entirely predictable that we would come out sluggish. What was not entirely predictable was that we would not get over it. And just played like garbage.
The second half. The first half we had runs where it looked decent.
Even then
it wasn't great. But we still had Luca shot decently. Kyan Evans shot decently. Seth even had a few shots in there that looked decent. Caleb and Henry had pretty terrible nights.
Yeah.
But outside of those two, they played decent.
In
the first half. Sluggish. And then the second half was the worst half I've probably seen this season.
Yeah, it was sluggish and not executing the game plan. And especially to lose points. I think they lost points in the paint.
And rebounds.
And to lose a rebound. Like, those are effort things. Really disappointing. It still, doesn't take anything away in my mind from the Carolina Duke game, which
nothing, love.
I still love it just as much, even though we tarnished it with a follow-up loss. But it really frustrating to see us play so poorly in that game. We did bounce back from that though in the next game.
We came back. Caleb, it officially came back that Caleb broke his hand. We found that out like Friday at like 3 o'clock,
right?
Or like Friday at one, or no, Thursday. Thursday or Friday, one of those days.
There was a full day's.
It was Thursday afternoon because I was on the way to Lander, and I saw it when I parked. It was like, "Oh, Caleb broke his hand. That sucks." And then it came out Saturday. They do the who's gonna play. They do like the ACC Network does like the availability and who's hurt, who's questionable, and who's a game time decision. And it had Henry Vasar listed as game time decision. And I went, crap. My brain, I had completely forgotten about Zaden High.
Right.
I thought, well, the other no-goes are Caleb, that Ivan, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, from Croatia, maybe? I'm not sure where he's from. And then James Brown. So I'm like, we're going to have to start Jaren Stevenson at R5.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is terrible. And of course, Zaden came in and had the game of his life. And we were able to win that game handily against a team like Pitt, who there's a lot of hatred between
Pitt. A lot of animosity.
And between Pitt and North Carolina, from Pitt to North Carolina. I don't think North Carolina dislikes Pitt that much, but
We're starting to.
Yeah.
They made us look dumb a few years in a row.
Yeah.
I really wanted to win that game. Very
I did
happy
too.
To see that that we did.
And the Capel brothers, Jeff Capel making, was it Jeff Capel or Jason Capel? The assistant.
Jason
Capel's the assistant who played for North Carolina. Jeff Capel hit the...
Shout out, class of 2002.
Class of 2002. Yep, that's dad's... Sorry. And then Jason Capel, or Jeff.
Jeff's the head coach.
Jeff is the one who hit the half-court shot in either single overtime or regulation to extend the game in Cameron. That they show all over the place, and they're like, oh my gosh, Duke wins at the buzzer. They did not win that game.
Yeah.
By the way, just so we're clear.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Which
I almost enjoy that highlight. Like, great shot.
Great shot.
Now play defense. Ha.
Yeah. I remember they were talking about that on the Carolina Insider either the Friday before the game or the Monday after, and they're like, there's an entire generation that thinks Jeff Capel won the game.
Yeah. And they're wrong.
That is
another part about the Seth shot that I love is that it happened on ESPN. Because ESPN can't show you the last second shots in the NCAA tournament.
They can't.
They can't show you.
They can't show you the Caleb Love shot.
Yeah.
They can't show you the...
A lot of these things that happened that,
leaky
that
black
are more
block
recent.
Or whatever happened, all the stuff that happened recently, outside of the Caleb Love to Armando lob that happened in Cameron a couple years ago.
Yep.
Outside of that, it's just like, man, all these highlights are from before I was born.
Some of them are black and white.
Yeah, some of them are black and white. It's like, man, we need some 4K footage, and it was awesome to get that.
Yep. A lot of angles on that bad boy.
But yeah, back to Henry Vasar. His availability against NC State, I've not read anything. I've seen rumors that it was illness for Vasar not being able to play. I've also seen it could have been Achilles.
Well, they said both.
It could have been both. Okay.
Lower extremity injury and illness.
Have they said both officially?
That's what they said on the broadcast.
On the broadcast. Okay.
So,
I don't remember the broadcast saying anything about that, but I'm also
very not
observant. At
the very end of the game, you weren't in there, and I think it was Wes Durham was talking about it and said that it was game time decision related to a health issue or an illness issue and a lower body extremity
issue. And yeah, so I think it was Achilles. It could have been anything on the lower extremities. Huge way to win that game, even despite being down two of your best players, to see everybody step up. I think we had five guys in double figures.
Yeah,
four with 20 or more, or four with 15 or more. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a great
game. We'll talk briefly about the NBA before we go to Wildcat Sports. Historic game between the Mavs and the Hornets as two former Duke teammates. Con Knipple had a career high of 34 points in the victory, and Cooper Flagg had 49 points in a loss. The most amount of points scored by a teenager in NBA history.
It's a team game.
And then NBA trade deadline. Giannis still in Milwaukee despite asking for a trade. But Kobe White, the highest scoring high school basketball player in North Carolina history, is now back in the great state of North Carolina with Charlotte. Anthony Davis is a Wizard. And James Harden is a Cav. And I saw a rumor that Lonzo Ball was with the Hornets. I don't think that's true. Because I feel like there would have been more buzz about that.
Pun intended.
Not
the buzz.
Not actually, but... Yeah.
Unintended.
But yeah, and then we'll jump into some Wildcat Sports as huge news as Austin Sargent, a Tar Heel fan, hired to be the new head coach for the Wildcats, returns home after 6 years of being at either TL Hanna or and or Emerald. That's pretty big news. Austin Sargent, I actually have a pretty funny story about the Carolina game with Coach Sargent. So Stacy Sargent, who I mentioned earlier, that is Austin Sargent's son. Austin Sargent is Stacy Sargent's son. And so her and Coach Sargent were texting back and forth all game, or all day about the game, how nervous, how excited, whatever. And she texts Coach and says, yeah, we're about to leave for worship. And he said, y'all have fun. I could never do that. And I said, tell him I'm being forced to. He doesn't know me. We have met, but he didn't. I don't think he knew my name. And he goes, and so they're talking. And after the shot by Seth, he tried to FaceTime his mom. Like, he tries to FaceTime Miss Stacy. We're at the middle of worship, and she gets a FaceTime call, and she has to hang up immediately, obviously. And then I find out about the game, whatever. I don't even think they talked after the game. They just went on about their days. I could never. But, yeah, it was fun. And then, obviously, I found Coach Sargent on either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after the game. And I said, heard you had a fun night Saturday night. And he was like, oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I said, yeah, my name's Ben. I'm from Raleigh. And I loved watching that game, too. But I was in Converge with Miss Stacy. And he was like, yeah, I don't know why you went, dude. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I don't know why either. But I did email the Carolina Insider podcast asking what you do dilemma, because I'm now concerned. Do I have to drive up to Myrtle Beach on
every Duke game
from now on?
I don't make the rules, bro.
Like, it's just,
I don't make the rules.
Is that how it works?
But you go where you go and you do what you do. Gas money is going to be a problem for you, but you're just going to need to go.
You're going to have to walk if you to. Like, just
start a couple of days earlier. Get to Myrtle Beach.
Get to Myrtle Beach.
Sorry.
Back to Coach Sargent.
As a Wildcat.
Coaches the offensive line, I believe right out of high school or right out of college. Awesome to have him back home. He played at Gardner-Webb as an offensive lineman his senior year, not allowing a single sack, which is pretty major. And then it's actually pretty funny. So Theo Meredith, my brother and his middle child, were sitting there talking, and he goes, didn't allow a sack. Don't you not want to get sacked if you're the lineman? I was like, that's the point. He did a good job. And he's like,
slight confusion
on offense defense there, which is pretty funny. But yeah, super excited to see Coach Sargent. I've heard rumors and I've peeked at sheets, that say we're going to be running a little bit of more spread offense, not as much two tight end, three wing back looks, a little bit more receiver looks, which sucks that guy like Caden Conway is graduating when you're just getting that. But it's still pretty awesome to see that. So we'll see Jacob Evans out there throwing it a little bit more, which will be fun. Soccer is up and running. Our first game is on Thursday, so excited to see how the Wildcats will perform there, guys and girls. I think girls start at 5, guys start after. So y'all come out and support the girls, having one of the better seasons in program history, and the guys exist this season. So
there's
positive news all around. Baseball was cruising an open season. Now they are in official season. They have a game. It was actually supposed to be while we're recording this, but due to weather, because the weather is not exactly beautiful here in Greenwood, they had it rescheduled to Tuesday. So Tuesday at around 6, I believe, is when the first pitch will be thrown between the Wildcats and the Dixie Hornets at Lander University. So if you can make it to that one, please do. I don't have much info about softball. Track practices have also gotten underway. No home meets for the track team, but there will be. They're going to Emerald, they're going to Mid Carolina, and there's one Emerald meet during, and there's one Greenwood meet during there. There's two meets at each school that we're going to, plus Greenwood, and then it's region at Pillion, qualifier and state. I don't know where qualifier and state are at, but that'll be fun for each team. And then Wildcat basketball. Middle school fell in the finals of the conference tournament, in the quarterfinals of the conference tournament, which is unfortunate after a championship year last year, falling in the quarterfinals, was not exactly expected. Varsity guys finished 2-8 in region. The varsity guys have, they split with Pillion, and they split with, I can't remember the other team they split with, but very solid season for them to be able to get region wins. We haven't had that many region wins in a long time, and it's nice to see that. Lady Cats basketball, they only had 2 region losses, both to Saluda. Saluda on senior night came in and they blew the doors off of both teams, and then narrowly losing to Saluda at Saluda. Talking to one of the players, she told me that they were leading up until like the last 2 minutes of the game, and they just kind of struggled from there. And then I just want to shout out one player on here, Trey Johnson. We've mentioned him on here before. Love Trey. He had himself a really good end of the season getting, I don't know if he ever started, but he was probably the first guy off the bench most games.
He started at ALA.
Other than that, he didn't start many other games, but he had a really phenomenal finish of the season. Again, very lights out shooter and just able to play really solid. And then Lady Cats play at home on Tuesday for a playoff game. And if they win that one, they will get another home playoff game. So excited to see that happen. Very excited for the future of that program, as they're only graduating 4 girls and only 2 that are like crazy major contributors. So excited to see the future of this program and how it'll grow from there under first year head coach Amanda Deason. Wrestling update. Wrestling had upper state qualifiers Saturday. That was Valentine's Day. Saturday they had a great show out. They had all but 2 guys qualify for state. The 2 who did not qualify will, of course, I think they might take a couple days off and then go out to track. So they will be excited for that, and potentially soccer for Robert Adams. Not sure yet. But yeah, and that's all I have for Wildcat Sports. Dad, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm just super excited that they hired a Tar Heel fan as the football coach.
Absolutely.
You know what? You don't even have to be good at football. You're a Tar Heel fan. You know?
Absolutely.
I saw him wearing a Carolina hat, and I was like, okay, all right. I don't know this guy, but he's clearly from good stock.
Yeah.
No, I am really excited to see that. If you do want to see schedules for any of these games, 96boosterclub.com has an aggregated schedule. So one schedule with all of the sports that are coming up. So 96boosterclub.com, that's 96boosterclub.com. And you can check out the schedules page. Those we'll keep them as updated as possible. Of course, all the different sports, weather stuff and, delays and reschedules and stuff like that. We might not stay as on top of it as possible, but we help run the 96 Booster Club website. And so we'll keep those schedules there as well. But yeah.
Absolutely.
That's all I got.
So all the spring sports you can see on that website, which will be in the description. And then, we'll talk a little bit of Carolina baseball action. The Diamond Heels pitching off their season. Tar Heels faced off in a 3-game series against Indiana with a sweep, 3 wins in 2 days, Friday at noon.
Indiana's a football school.
Exactly. So, it's just
such a perennial football powerhouse.
Yeah. And so able to get that first win, I think it was 7-1, could be wrong. And then we mercy ruled them in the second game, which I believe was noon on Valentine's Day. The first Bosch bomb of the year was hit off of a transfer. I'm saying this like it's crazy. I think we only had 1 returning guy from our baseball team. So
they're all
transfers or freshmen. He may have been a freshman. I'm not sure. All I know is that his Instagram following was not strong, and I bet it is now.
That's right.
And he hit it off the foul pole, pretty high up on the foul pole as well. And then that walk-off.
10th inning or 11th?
11th inning.
11th
inning walk-off. So they made up. So in Mercy Rule Baseball, they end in the 7th. And so they just played 2 extra innings in the next one to make up for it.
That's right.
And yeah, we won that one 3-4. A phenomenal hit by Duke transfer. I can't think of his name. and I apologize.
I'm not sure what the laws are for Duke transfers into Carolina. Yeah, I think I'm not allowed to be a fan for, like, it's like leprosy in the Old Testament. There's like 7 years.
Even hitting a walk-off?
And you gotta, and so I think even, after the third walk-off, I think I can be your fan. I don't know. I got to check the rule book. I'll be honest with you.
Well, he's already won me over.
You know, welcome to Carolina, sorta.
Welcome. You still have to pay for your previous sin. This is not.
I'm not sure what the rules are, but no, excited to see the walk off for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You have anything else you'd like to talk Carolina baseball about? Are you excited for this season? What else do you have to say?
I hope to watch more games this year. Yeah. I definitely always aspire to watch. I like watching baseball, but there's a lot of games, and then I just forget. And they're not in my calendar, or they're at inconvenient times. So yeah, would like to watch a lot more of it. I really appreciate Scott Forbes and the Tar Heel coaching staff. I think they do a really good job. So would like to watch it for sure.
And Scott Forbes was on the Carolina Insider, and I loved him mentioning one of the players, I think one of his outfielders. He said he's built a lot like Vance, referring to Vance Honeycutt, who is probably the best Carolina baseball player to ever play. I don't think I'm being that dramatic saying that sentence out loud.
It's not that bold of a statement.
And he goes, and I feel really bad for saying that because I'm never going to coach another Vance Honeycutt. But to say that is high praise from Coach Forbes, and I'm excited to see if that guy can live up to it. But yeah, and so we'll get into some Tar Heels in the pros action. RJ Davis still in the G League. He played in the Rising Stars game, or Up and Coming Stars, one of the two. It's something different for the G League. I think it's Up and Coming Stars, and he played solid. Kobe White, we already mentioned, got traded to the Hornets. That's going to be a really stacked team with Konkanipple, the former Blue Devil, LaMelo Ball, and they added White. And they have Brandon Miller, the former really good shooter from Bama. Do you remember Brandon Miller?
Mm-hmm.
He was very good when we played against him. And then a guy I had honestly completely forgotten about is Cam Johnson. His younger brother. What'd you say?
I said, old Cam.
Yeah. His younger brother was on the Duke Final Four team that we beat. He is now somehow still in college playing for Ohio State. We meant to mention that a while back, but we did not.
Ninth year freshman, I think.
I'm not sure how many years. I think he's a junior. Honest to God, he might be a junior somehow, and he's in like year eight. He's averaging 11 points for the Nuggets. And then Chaz Surratt, did not know this until like the Thursday before the Super Bowl, is a member of the Seahawks, had been sidelined due to an injury, but was active for the Super Bowl. And Chaz Surratt is a former Tar Heel quarterback. So former Tar Heel quarterback did win the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, and no matter what happened. A meteor would have been the only, I think, logical option for that. But yeah, do you have anything else you'd like to say about this episode?
Nope, I think I'm good.
Tar Heels play again. When do the Tar Heels play again?
I think Tuesday.
Tuesday, NC State. Tuesday in Raleigh.
The Page NC Arena.
The Page NC Arena.
Luke Maycourt on the Page NC Arena.
Shout out to the NC State students that I know, specifically Kaysen Howell.
That's right.
Former Greenwood High standout wrestler currently at NC State. Hope he's there to watch the Tar Heels win. Not sure if he will be, though. But yeah, that's all we have. And then they're back in action again Saturday at home against the Tigers. Those will both be really fun, intriguing games. Two teams that have bounced in and out of the rankings. I'm curious where Clemson will land after that blowout loss against, I wouldn't say blowout, but it was there was no doubting who won that game in that one with Clemson and Duke Saturday. Unfortunately, I set apart time in my calendar to watch it, and I was like, well, I have a rule where unless it's Carolina Duke, I don't watch Duke win.
That's right.
Even in the Carolina guys, even if it's Carolina girls playing Duke girls. They just played. Duke won. Sadly, I watched until about 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, turned it off.
We don't watch Duke
blowout teams. It wasn't a blowout. They only won by like six, but I wasn't going to watch them win. Anyways, so that's all we have here in Greenwood, South Carolina. You have been listening to the Sports Report, and we hope to see you guys next time. Go Tar Heels.